was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Come back, my friends. This is the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Sam Kennedy, and I thank you for joining me. We were discussing before the break the prospect of turning around an offer from a public official. Doesn't matter what it is. That offer involves money. I can guarantee you that. And so, we return the offer with language that I was just quoting off of the top of my head, telling them that we thank them for the offer to expand funds. The offer is being accepted for value, and we're returning it with a secured promissory note attached thereto in whatever amount we think is appropriate. And that promissory note could be for the correct amount. It could be for a greater amount, giving them a windfall profit. We could ask for a return of the overage and use them for monetization. We've actually seen that done successfully. And we inform them that we are also annexing to the promissory note the Form 1099 OID report made that particular day to IRS of your tax liability in the amount of such and such. And I always like to repeat the amount when I use that particular sentence because it puts the point home. If it's a $100,000 promissory note, you're not going to be taxed on the gain and maybe have a $30,000 tax. No. Your liability is the full amount of the instrument based upon the zero-year account methodology, which, as you know, I did not invent, but we have discussed at length on this program, and the use of that technology to relieve the blockage of our own credit and to regain control over and manage our so-called exemption account, our immunity account, so it isn't used for nefarious purposes like bombing people halfway around the world. So I would go on in a letter like that to say, to give them warning that in 10 days I'm going to be unleashing the tail end of the tax remedies, and that really tends to bite like a scorpion's tail. It goes right at the recipients and holders of the instrument. And I might say something like, if an adjusted statement of account isn't received by deadline, or the instrument is returned to me, or returned to the notary, it's all done through a notary, without a notice of dishonor or other evidence of a defect annexed thereto, then a corrected 1099 OID will be issued, indicating your personal tax liability in the amount of whatever it happens to be. So I tell them, and I'm doing that more and more and more often, informing them that if they don't post the payment to the account, then as far as I'm concerned and as an operation of law, they hold the liability as holder of the instrument. Heck, the instrument is liability. How can you hold it and not be liable? It's foolish to think otherwise. That music, my friend, means we're coming up on a break. We will continue this discussion. Then we're going to talk about monetizing through a public neighborhood institution.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Welcome back, friends. And let me just remind you again, if I can find the details here, that there are a couple of seminars coming up. You have Winston Shrout's Advanced Solutions in Commerce Seminar next Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. That's February 15th, 16th, and 17th in San Antonio, Texas. That's Winston Shrout, solutionsincommerce.com. And you have Keith Livingway's Sovereignty Without Subject Seminar, to give it a name. I hope he calls it that. I hope I got that right. March 1st and 2nd in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And more information can be found at his website, sovereignwithoutsubjects.com. So I hope you'll search both of those out. Also, the contract dispute settlement package, as I mentioned, is available on a limited basis from Sharon at rescueteam.com. Sharon has no BIC experience. She's simply a member of a ministry that does good work, and I have granted that package to them as a blessing. And, of course, the collecting and bankruptcy CD, I forgot to mention, is available from Brian, who is a volunteer for me, and you can contact Brian at restore.america@hotmail.com. All right, folks, so getting back to this issue. Now, put yourself in the position of the recipient of the party who sent that hold harmless agreement. Which would you rather be? The fellow who opens the envelope and receives the angry letter coming in with all of those demands and gives it over to legal counsel, and they both probably wind up having a good laugh and thinking of it as another patriot. Ah, to hell with her. Let's just subpoena her in, or let's indict her, or just forget it, throw it in the pail, whatever it may be, whatever the response might be to what they interpret as some sort of nut job coming at them. Here she's making trouble again. Or would you rather be the party opening the envelope and out comes a promissory note and a federal tax document with a one-sentence paragraph that says, you're holding the liability, make sure to credit the account, or we'll issue a corrected tax document indicating that you are completely liable for the funds, which would make for the worst weekend if you received these late Friday afternoon and couldn't get in touch with counsel for the department? Which do you think would be the most unpleasant precursor to a weekend? So based upon that, you see why I love commerce. I hope you do anyway. Commerce is applicable to just about every situation. I reviewed a bona fide method for securing property at auction this past December 1st. That's a program worth downloading if you're involved in a sheriff sale or any other auction, forced or otherwise. We have a number of people around the country who are living in houses that they secured using secured promissory notes and their knowledge of commerce and their ability to let impairing parties such as attorneys and officers for auction companies who attempted to get in the way completely understand the risks they were taking if they refused payment under public policy. And so they were able to secure signed purchase agreements, and then they went ahead and seized the home. Sounds outlandish, doesn't it? Think about it. Is there a contract when you buy a house? Yes, it's the purchase agreement. There's no further contract. The mortgage is about a loan. The deed of trust is about a loan, not about the possession of the house. The only other document that changes hands is a deed, but you don't need to rewrite the deed to have a contract to sell it. So the party has a contract for sale, a purchase agreement signed by both parties, and a receipt for cash through the secured promissory note, both of which get filed into the county. Now you have complete evidence of a contract and presentment and acceptance of consideration. What's the only thing missing to complete that contract? Well, of course, conveyance of the other party's consideration. How many times have you heard that, folks? Consideration. And so these parties went ahead and took consideration, and then they faced down sheriffs, real estate people, attorneys, city police, and village police. And all of them are living in their homes right now. I am not advocating this. You need to really know what you're doing if you're going to aggressively move forward in this direction. And let me tell you, BIC was not developed for this purpose. BIC is a scriptural process which is designed to enrich the poor. What did the Lord say about charity? Think about that. What advice did the Lord give you about charity? What have you taught your children about charity? That if you're kind to the poor, that the Lord will reward you. Isn't that a message that appears throughout Scripture? So before you take these measures, you have to ask yourself if you're worthy. I have another friend who takes over properties in a similar manner, but he gives them to people and then helps defend the property against government intervention. I had an email arrive 1 hour before the program which said the following: thank you for getting back to me as quickly as you did. I'm relatively new to the BIC process, but I've listened to the last 4 shows and I'm intrigued to say the least. I have an immediate problem with a default judgment which happened to my wife a couple of years ago. We couldn't show up at the time, blah, 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 blah. I'm 60 years old, and I'm anxious to learn as much as I can, but I have a subpoena for examination of debtor and how to pay next Tuesday. I have to know how to handle that immediate problem. Folks, we need to remember the subpoena, the indictment, the letter from the warrant officer, whatever it is, all of their commercial garbage is nothing more than an order to pay. So it's not a subpoena, it's an order to pay. And if you keep that in your mind, you'll understand what your remedy is, and it's within you. We accept the subpoena for value. We return it. We might even make it payable to Treasury. And we provide payment, and that's all I would do if it was me. Or I might show up and ask, how much is the value of this subpoena? What's the sum that's attached to it? Well, for that matter, what's the value attached to the entire case? I'm prepared to pay it right now. I know what you're thinking. You whip out your pen and your promissory note, and the judge says, I can't accept this. Well, if he says that to me, I know exactly how I'm going to respond. If he says it's no good, I know how I'm going to respond. If he says anything at all other than this case is settled, I'm going to ask him, am I to understand that you're willfully violating public policy? Is that what you're telling this court? If he says it's no good, I'll make him put up or shut up or step down. Fine. Why don't you return that note to me with a certificate of protest from the bank, and I'll correct the defect. But if you retain it, or if you return it to me without evidence of a defect, I'll hold you fully liable on the instrument, Judge. That's personally liable, and I'll issue a lien or a warrant against your bond. Can your bond handle the liability that you are creating here today, sir? Hell, I'll send these guys standing over here to collect, and you know what? Their bosses will come and collect. Their boss is your boss. Now, what's it going to be? What's the worst you can do? Threaten you with contempt? Fine, I accept that. How much is the bill? I'll pay it right now. I have this promissory note right here. By the way, you need to step down because I'll be calling you as a material witness. So why don't you remove yourself from there? And in the meantime, I'll be making payment to the clerk. Do we have any other business? Does anyone in this courtroom have a 1099 OID on any other charges? If so, bring it forth right now. Let the record show no one stepped forth. There are no claims against me. My public business here is done. Have a nice day. And then you walk to the door and you ignore everything they say. Stop, don't go. Ignore them. Walk. And if anyone were to lay a hand on me at that point, I'd place him under arrest. That's my attitude in commerce. Commerce is very versatile. Look, if we get a chance later on in the program, I'd like to begin a discussion about repossession. We are developing a methodology whereby we welcome repossession because we are going to repossess on the repossession. We're going to use BIC payment instruments, to settle the account, as I mentioned on the air a week or two ago. And then 10 days later, we're issuing a notice that you might find most interesting. It would be a notice of default and a right to cure. And it looks identical to the notice the finance companies use. But it's a right to cure the certificate of non-response. And it includes a notice of intent to repossess and a notice of intent to release the lien. I don't mean to sound like Paul Harvey here, but there's a lot of fun in mystery, isn't there? Everybody's addicted to these horror programs. What could be more horrible than the United States Federal Corporation coming at you in violation of its own public policy? And so we'll be repossessing the funds. What funds? How about this? The face value of the contract, the loan. The face value of the promissory note and the amount of funds that you have previously tendered. How's that for a repossession? Folks, we'll be back in 2 to 3 minutes. And then we're going to get into another issue I know you're going to find fascinating.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back, my friends. So, as to the repossession, we'll get into that in more detail, if not this program, the next program. But we're completing an administrative remedy in which the finance company will stipulate that the account is paid, as most of you have participated in at some point. However, we're going to put teeth in that remedy. We're issuing a notice of default along with the certificate of non-response. A certificate of non-response is the zenith. If they don't respond at all, we issue that certificate instead of non-performance. And that really certifies the estoppel. If they fail to respond, they've lost the right to plead in the future. And we make that clear in our certificates as well. The notary will not say that they are prevented. The notary will say they received notice that their failure to respond would be their consent to an estoppel and their agreement with all of the terms of the administrative remedy. So we'll complete that process, and then we'll secure a second certificate of non-response on the notice of default. And that's where it gets interesting, because then we release the lien, and then we seek a certain kind of state certification, which is equivalent to a court order. Now, before we seek that certification, we have another little surprise for the finance company. A separate packet arrives, probably around the same time, inviting them to an arbitration, a notice of appearance for an arbitration hearing, and that's according to the arbitration clause that appears in almost all of the leases and loans regarding automobiles and RVs. Those arbitration clauses, they'll probably rewrite them in the future once this package gets circulated, but right now most of them say it needs to be an attorney or a retired judge who hears the arbitration, and either party can elect the arbitrator. Well, we've elected the arbitrator, and it's an attorney in fact, an attorney in law, not an attorney at law. And I can imagine the first protest would be, well, that's not an attorney. Excuse me, sir. Are you attempting to redefine the definition of attorney as it appears in Black's Law, 6th or 7th edition, whatever it is? Well, sir, no, we meant an attorney, a practicing attorney. Or they may say, excuse me, do you hold a bar card? No. Is that mandatory for this arbitration? What does that have to do with anything? Well, you're not an attorney? Actually, I'm an attorney in fact. Well, you can't hold this. What do you mean I can't hold this? Your own contract says an attorney does your own contract not say that the arbitration must be conducted by an attorney or a retired judge? How do you define an attorney? Well, we meant an attorney at law. Well, if you meant that, why didn't you put that in the contract? And to that question, there is no answer. It's all about how you define the word is. That's using their words of art against them, which is something that always brings a certain smile to my face, considering the number of times, the millions and millions of times the co-opting of the English language has been used to injure good men and women who have nothing but freedom in their hearts and for the posterity. Excuse me. So, that arbitration outcome is fairly predictable because the other party will not be permitted to speak unless they address the estoppel. So once there'll be a judge by stipulated agreement who knows the law, meaning the law of the contract. And once that arbitration out order is issued, it will be attached to a court cover, a state certification with the seal of the court on it, and it will be used to release the lien. By the way, the release of lien administrative process also includes a special power of attorney I designed, a self-executing power of attorney, somewhat different than we've done in the past, and it might include a confession of judgment. And all of that then will be used to release the lien, take that release of lien to DMV, and force them to release the title, and then the vehicle will be sold, and the Patriot will be in possession of the vehicle, and the owed compensation on the tax liability by way of zero your account refunds. So I'm looking forward to bringing that forth in the future. Anyway, here's a little topic I hope we have time to address. This is an article that someone sent me, which was written by a fellow by the name of John J-O-N Markman, M-A-R-K-M-A-N, who is a financial columnist for MSN Money, and you can find this article on the web. I'm just going to read you a few excerpts. The staid and steady finances upon which roads, sewers, and schools are built could be about to become part of the world's credit crisis. Here's how that scenario is likely to unfold. The culprit this time is probably going to come hurtling in from a corner of the finance world least expected to give anyone grief, the formerly sleepy world of municipal finance, or the conduit through which cities and states pay for civic infrastructure. Now, folks, you don't want to fall asleep through this, because this is an excellent article which will help you better understand how your credit is being used to finance municipal projects and how you can use the DIC method to negotiate with the city a very favorable situation. And we'll be back to address those issues in 3 minutes. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Sam Kennedy. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back, folks. We're reading an article by John Markman, a financial columnist for MSN Money. And Mr. Markman goes on to say, "It may be hard to believe that your local roads, bridges, and sewers could have a connection to the crisis that has rocked world financial markets in the past 8 months, but this could be one of the worst threats yet," in other words, to the payment of civic infrastructure and civic projects. "Here's the problem. Citizens have for decades empowered their town, state, school districts, and regional mass transit agencies, among others, to issue debt to pay for all the niceties of modern transportation, education, and public health that we take for granted." Notice his language, to issue debt. You think he doesn't know what's going on? These long-term, I guarantee you this, though, he knows about half the story. "These long-term obligations, which you may know as municipal bonds or munis, are backed by civic agencies' taxation powers." In other words, they're issuing loans using you as collateral. "The agencies nick local homeowners and other consumers for a few cents here and there." That's what he considers your property taxes, a few cents here and there. "On sales taxes, property taxes, and use taxes, and it adds up to enough cash flow to pay off the debts. For the most part, this is a lovely setup, and there have been ridiculously few defaults on the debts over the decades. But because virtually all local governments are treated like country bumpkins by Wall Street, they aren't accorded the top quality ratings known as AAA or AA that would allow their debts to be sold to safety-seeking money market funds, private investors, or overseas pension funds. As a result, local governments for years have bought a type of guarantee known as a wrap from companies called monoline insurers. These insurance companies essentially agree to wrap their own AA or AAA ratings around the municipality's lower ratings, allowing the bonds to be sold easily in the global marketplace. Folks, does this sound foreign to you? Doesn't it sound like exactly what the Corrections Corporation of America and Payne Webber are doing? The constant, or the way the Miller or even non-Miller bonds work, the bid bonds and performance bonds and the payment bonds, one bond used to insure another bond, one guy's phony liability used to insure another guy's phony liability. It goes on to say, the monoline insurers thus have had one of the greatest free lunches of all time. They've collected billions in premiums from muni insurers, yet rarely, if ever, paid a claim. Because the monoline business was so profitable, the biggest insurers decided a few years back to spread their wings a little and branch out into the business of guaranteeing some riskier credits. I love that. I love the way these fiction markets move because I know they're headed in my direction. They are headed at some point to a crash the likes of which none of them can even conceive of that will make 1929 look like it was literally a romp in the park. We're not talking 15% unemployment. Since we're now a service industry, there'll be 50% unemployment, and they don't. Most of them don't even know, certainly not on a conscious level, to what they are contributing. Egged on by ratings agencies that wanted them to, and by the way, don't misinterpret. Am I wishing that kind of hardship on mankind? Yes and no. No, because I don't like to see people suffer. But there is something called healthy pain in this world. Most pain we experience is healthy pain. The heat of a stove, the experience we have of singeing ourselves or getting stuck by a sharp instrument, that's healthy pain. It stops us from severing our fingers off and causing ourselves injury and being burned up needlessly. Those sorts of healthy pain also are invaluable when it comes to life experiences. And we know the way nature's God works, and a day of reckoning must be coming, and perhaps if people wake up ahead of time, they can stop worshiping false idols and return to the word of the Lord. At least that's what I would hope. So, egged on by rating agencies, they've moved out into riskier credits. And he goes on to say, egged on by rating agencies that wanted them to diversify away from the pokey world of munis, executives at AMBAC, AMBAC Financial Group, MBIA, and PMI Group threw common sense out the window and persuaded their boards and shareholders that they could guarantee a new type of highly leveraged debt. You almost don't have to hear more than that. We have come to know as the evil villains in the past year's credit cycle drama. Collateralized debt obligations. By the way, what do you think a bonded promissory note is? A collateralized debt obligation. In fact, we've changed the name to a secured promissory note. Maybe we should call it a collateralized promissory note. What's the first thing a banker asks for when you negotiate with him for the purpose of having him accept a promissory note outside of the normal realm of home mortgages? Well, we only accept collateralized instruments. Well, it is collateralized. It says it right on the front, collateralized promissory note. Folks, that's how technology is invented. These collateralized debt obligations are also known as CDOs. CDOs, you may recall, are those bundles of high-yield securities backed by subprime home mortgages, subprime auto loans, credit cards, and the like, that have dripped acid all over the world financial system in the past year. CDOs, in other words, are bundles of high-yield securities. What does high yield mean? High yield means high risk. Backed by subprime home mortgages, subprime auto loans, credit cards, and the like. Now, auto loans are not high risk, neither are mortgages. They're making it out like it is, but from the world of fiction economics, the first item that people pay on their list is the mortgage, the second item is the auto loan, because they need those necessities. The first item they default on are the credit cards. As many mortgage holders have stopped making payments on loans amid rampant home foreclosures across the United States, the securities underlying the CDOs have been downgraded left and right by the ratings agencies, in many cases from AAA all the way down to junk bond status in a single slot. As you can imagine, these downgrades make the CDOs too risky for pension funds to hold, but they are illiquid and hard to sell. Holders have therefore obsessed over whether the monolines would make good on their insurance policies in the event of default, and have concluded they are so frightfully undercapitalized that payoffs are unlikely. In other words, if there is a default on the municipal bonds, the CDOs are going to be out of luck, or vice versa. So the insurers, remember, the monolines are the companies that wrap their AAA ratings, which are now worthless because of the CDOs, around those municipal bonds that are issued to raise money for your cities and towns, the de facto version of your cities and towns. So the insurers have found themselves under the microscope of ratings agencies, which have been threatening for the past couple of months to downgrade their high ratings. Because high ratings are all they have to sell, AMBAC and MBI shares have plunged 84 and 79% respectively since early October. In many cases, munis are sold as part of tender option bond or put bond derivatives. In these programs, which became very popular among hedge funds in this decade because their low risk profiles permitted a lot of leveraging, a bond could be tendered back to the issuer if any of a variety of troublesome events triggered, ranging in severity from a default to a ratings downgrade. In other words, the municipal bond can be recalled, just like if you've ever owned a bond. I owned a bond years ago that was called. I was making good money on it, so of course the company that issued it wanted it back. They were happy to pay out on the bond because they could take that money and invest it in something that was paying a higher yield. The programs required the issuer to buy back bonds at par or face value. If the monoline insurers that guarantee the bonds lose even one notch of their high ratings, then every one of the hundreds of thousands of munis they have underwritten over the years likewise loses its high rating. And that would be an event that could lead bondholders to attempt to tender the bonds back to insurers. So that, by the way, folks, is the same concern that I've heard voiced about the mortgage market, that the derivatives they've put together will be called by the bondholders, thereby bankrupting the system. And you know who's holding most of those derivatives? China and other nations. And frankly, I don't know what they're waiting for. Who knows what kind of leverage has been expressed, or maybe it's in their best interest not to have the market collapse. But China, in one fell swoop, could cause such a financial crisis that the United States would never recover. So why did I bring all of this nonsense up, all of this fictional garbage up? For this reason, to warn you that there may be an impending crisis in the ability of your town, village, city, even the court system, all of those municipalities, to fund themselves. And what happens if they can't fund themselves? You become an invaluable asset because you can fund them. I postulate and suggest that the municipality that would fight against your secured promissory note would welcome, absolutely welcome, your commercial lien being held on another party as your account receivable if it meant that they could hold their position and not go into bankruptcy. They have municipalities will move mountains to avoid bankruptcy. There are enough patriots around the country at this very moment holding substantial sums in commercial liens and who are also ready and able to issue secured promissory notes against billions in indemnity bonds that we could save the cities using their own phony public policy payment instruments to fund them. And that would be the time to sit down with the county attorney. Look, if the county attorney is involved in all of this, then you know that the county attorney and the county executive, and by the way, more and more of your executives have MBAs, understand this kind of stuff. So that's the time, I suggest, to sit down with them and take them to the next level of education and explain to them how you can come forth as a benefactor, willing and able to provide them with payment instruments drawable through Treasury, excuse me, let me rephrase that, which can be drawn not against Treasury, let me make that clear, drawable against your bonds, which are being held at Treasury, for the purpose of providing benefit to the municipality. You can loan them millions and, in fact, billions of dollars over an extended term if necessary. If you have worries about it, then keep it under 10 years. If you have real worries, you're worried about being charged with security fraud, keep it under a year, which would place windfall profits, funds in their pocket that they could write against. And if they doubt they can write against it, let them try. Let them absorb the liability, the quote-unquote criminal liability, of writing against your indemnity bond by placing that bond into their accounts in their banks and forcing the bankers to use their banking licenses to monetize the instruments. And what do you get out of it? Number one, how about the next 100 years on the property being paid in advance? Number two, you have the high honor of having saved your community from bankruptcy, which is doing the Lord's work. And number three, you have educated the most important people financially in that community in public policy in a way they never would have discipled on their own. So what's to stop them from writing their own indemnity bonds? Well, what was to stop the slaves from leaving the plantation after the Southern armies surrendered? Their own fear. They'll never do it. Which makes you indispensable. I'm not throwing this out as some frivolous trick, my friends. BIC, is that effective? A payment instrument that is written by a living man is the highest form of payment that the municipality could possibly suffer. And if they need to see some additional documentation on it, well, it could be registered within their own county offices or recorded, and the original could be returned, and now it bears the marking of their own institutions, and then they would have no reason not to embrace the instrument. By the way, just as a point of general information, when you see a bond that says registered, do you know what that means? It's not what they'd like you to think. Bonds that are registered in the books of the maker, not with the United States. Now, if you're a corporation, the books of the United States are the books of the maker. And so that's why they need to get their CUSIP numbers to become part of the artificial economic deception. But the proper way to register a collateralized promissory note is in the books of the maker. And the newest versions of our notes state that quite clearly. In fact, we have some instruments, some certain kinds of set-off bonds. Please don't send me emails asking for them. They're not for general release. These set-off bonds with payment coupons attached that clearly state that the holder of the coupon has been registered in the books of the maker of the instrument. And that's the proof that the bond has value and that the pledge can be redeemed through the party that is holding the collateral, and that would be Henry Paulson, still alive and kicking, the United States trustee. Folks, we'll be back to wrap up this edition of Take No Prisoners in 3 minutes. Please don't go away.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardiovite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardiovite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my 3 little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Welcome back, friends. Well, I hope this program was informative and in some way helpful to you. I never know until I see the emails that come in. There's a fine line between a moron and a genius. And I could say something about my wife, but I won't. But if you've ever observed an idiot savant, you'll understand that great talent and great intellect and inability to communicate are only a fraction of DNA separated. The email, let me just remind you if I may, the email if you have questions about tonight's material to contact me is restore.america@hotmail.com. That's the same email to order the Collecting in Bankruptcy CD from Brian. All you have to do is put Brian's name in the subject line and it'll get ported to him. The contract dispute settlement package can be ordered from Sharon@rescueteam.com. Again, please don't berate Sharon with anything that's bothering you that day. We had one guy, a fellow by the name of Ron, who was just so nasty to her. Sharon's off over the weekend. She's not like us maniacs. And she didn't get back to him until Monday, and he just was livid. And frankly, we blocked his email, so there was no reason for us to act uncivil to those who were trying to help us. I was contacted by another Ron, by the way, in Florida. He just faced a sentencing hearing, and I've gone round about with this fellow time and again, trying to get him to see things as I do, because I thought that would be his only hope based upon who's approaching things. And I wasn't very successful. My communication skills weren't up to the game, but he did have a sentencing hearing, and he had a script to go in there, which was forged by Sam Davis. And when the judge walked in and asked if he was a defendant, the public defender on one side and Larry B. Kraft on the other side dragged him up out of his seat and identified him as a defendant. And so I had some real thoughts about, and he never did say his script, I do not believe. So my feeling is that if that were me, I'd call another hearing. I'd bring those guys in, and I would start speaking. I would stand up and start speaking, and I would wait until they touched me again. And without anything personal against whoever those parties are, I would look at them and I would use that as the excuse, as the reason to be my own man. And I would tell them flat out that I'm issuing them an order to take their hands off of me, or the next order in my mouth would be to place them under arrest. And if you want to see a courtroom come to a standstill, just find a reason to threaten an attorney in the courtroom or a judge with an arrest. And it's not the response you're expecting, where they'll come running at you and beat you up and toss you on the floor and kick you and molest you and threaten you with contempt or whatever. Nuh-uh. If there's just cause and you are calm and in control of yourself and you look people in the eye and say that one more word out of your mouth in that area, I'm going to have to issue an order for your arrest or a warrant for the arrest of your bond, will get their attention. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody do that. Everybody has to make up their own mind. But if you're ready for that step and you want to hold your sovereignty, that may be a necessary step to take. On that, my friends, I thank you for joining me. You've been listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll see you, I hope, God willing, next Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, have a wonderful and safe week. Good night and God bless.